All right, Exodus. We are in Exodus. We're just still muddling through the wilderness here. You know, the thing about Exodus, so you get half of it or a part of it is all these instructions to the you got the law and the architecture, all that. I'm trying to figure out where to put this thing. Here we go. Anyway, you got the law and you got the architecture, and then part of it is chapters of that describing blueprints and things like that. And then you get to the end, and then they actually build all this stuff, and it's restated again. So anyway, I don't know how we'll deal with that when we get to it, because it's a lot of it's the same. You know, they built it 2x4 and this and that, and it's kind of the same stuff. But in between this, you got this little episode here, and I can't tell if it's the golden calf account, and I can't tell if God was done communing with Moses, and Moses comes down the mountain because they're conversation is done, or he's done getting the law, or Moses comes down the mountain because there's stuff going on that shouldn't be going on. And so the Lord seems to tell him to go down the mountain, but then after this, it's just going to pick up where they start actually building the tabernacles. It sounds like he's kind of done with the instructions anyway. But Exodus 32, this is the account of the golden calf. It becomes a real pivotal thing in the Israelites' history. And Paul will point back to it in 1 Corinthians. And so there's a few things, and I'll just break this chapter up into these little pieces here. So let's read a little bit, Exodus chapter 32. Kind of get our bearings here. But verse 1 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Like, we don't know what's happened to him. And he's been gone too long, and maybe he's dead. We don't know. So do something else, Aaron. Do something else here. "And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." That's exactly what Paul says in Corinthians. And he records the idolatry, and he says Aaron institutes this feast to the Lord. He calls it a feast to the Lord, and which is interesting because that's the nature of idolatry. It's supposed to represent God in some way, but it's not a representation of God. But we'll get into that in a minute. But let's pray, and we'll deal with, you know, six or seven of these aspects of this whole thing. And this whole account with Israel, golden calf, Aaron, Moses, and God getting mad to the point of just like, I'm just going to start over. I'm done with the people. And so we'll deal with all this stuff that goes on in Exodus 32. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about these things. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together, for each soul that's here this afternoon. I pray that you would help us get an understanding of the history here and what's happening with Israel as a nation and how you're beginning to set things up with them. And then if there's some applications to be made here, I know Paul pulls some application up in Corinthians, and I pray we'd make the applications that need to be made, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so starting off the bat here, verses 1 through 6, it seems like, I don't know how else to say it, but it's like people are just wired to worship something. I don't understand why the Israelites, other than that, why they demand some gods to be made or something to be made so they can all bow down to it and say this is the God we pray to and stuff like that. But people seem to just worship something, and we're just wired for it. And so this is what they do. When Moses has spent too much time away from the people in their eyes, and they don't know if he's coming or what's happened to him, and so they tell Aaron, well, we don't know what's going on with Moses, so you make us gods, and you be essentially the priest, which he already kind of is going to be anyway. He's the spokesperson. And interesting, he's kind of like the political voice of the people. I mean, Aaron is that. He's where Moses is the preacher and the prophet among the people. Aaron is like the political voice among the people. And so they go to Aaron, they say, make us something and make us gods so that they'll go before us, which is just wild that you would. I mean, it's almost like you understand that you're creating these things out of nothing, and now you're going to bow down to them. Now you're going to establish and impart supernatural powers to these things that you've created out of your own hands, which is, it's wild, but this is what people do. This is idolatry. So they get rid of that which is really, that's worthy of worship. They're going to ignore the God that's been thundering and all that from the mountain, the God that delivered them out of Egypt. And now they're just going to make something to follow and to have them lead them. And this is what people do. So one of the things that you learn from this is Moses provides to the nation of Israel a measure of leadership that they need. And the only thing different between Israel in the wilderness by themselves at this point in time versus Israel in the wilderness with Moses is Israel doesn't make a golden calf as long as Moses is around. When Moses is gone, this is what they do. And so in the absence of some leadership, now I will admit, Moses is their leader, even though most of them don't enter the promised land. But in this case, leadership did make some difference. Israel had really every reason to believe God. They had miracles. They had seen the plagues. They had walked through the Red Sea. They had dealt with all the thunderings and lightnings on Mount Sinai. And so all of that, I mean, they had plenty of reason to believe God. But in the absence of Moses, this is what happens. They just go into idolatry. So there's something to be said that leadership made some difference in their lives and they needed it. Another thing I notice is Aaron is, I want to be careful how I say it. I was going to say he's not a bad man, and it doesn't seem like he's necessarily a bad person. When I read about Aaron, he seems to be put in a position that he wasn't really, but he does bad things, he does stupid things, but he's only in the position he's in because Moses didn't want to talk in front of people. And so Aaron gets put as the voice, and Aaron's the one that talks to Pharaoh. I mean, he's the voice. And Moses is the leader, though. He's the one that's leading, but Aaron is the voice. So Aaron's kind of put in this position. That's why I say he's kind of like a political figure. He's sort of the voice of the people in that sense. But in this case, I don't think he's what he does is very bad. It's going to be very bad. But he's just unwilling to go against the will of the people. He's sort of been put in this role as a representative of the populace, and Moses as the prophetic voice is gone. And so it's interesting just that this is the way that it happens. They go to Aaron and they say, well, you do something about this. You make us gods. And then he does this. I try to figure out how these things go on, but if Aaron told you, gather up all your jewelry, gather up all your valuable stuff, and just bring it to me. I don't know. That would be tough. That would be tough. I mean, it's just like, you're just going to take Aaron's word for it. You're just going to go and, I mean, good luck trying to get all that jewelry from your wives and stuff. But he says, bring all your gold and all your earrings and all that stuff and bring it to me. And the people are apparently willing to do that. As difficult as it may have been for them, but they do that. And they gather the gold, the jewels, and all that stuff. And this is the same stuff that will be used later in the giving of the tabernacle. I mean, to build the furniture and things like that. There's a lot of the same stuff. And so he gathers up the gold and the jewels and things like that. And this is verses 1-6 deals with really just the unacceptable worship. Now these people are religious in nature, and they want something to worship. They demand Aaron do something about it. He gives them some instructions, and then they end up building this calf and or these calves. And then Aaron says, "All right, now that you built these things, we're going to have a feast. We're going to have a feast to the Lord." And tomorrow, and so the Bible says they eat, they drink, they rose up to play. And Paul talks about this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. So he says that he warned the Corinthians against idolatry. And what he was warning them against was being in the position of the Israelites who had been participants with God all through Exodus here. They'd been participants with God. And then abandon God. And so Paul says, look, these people, a lot of them died in the wilderness because of this. So there's unacceptable worship. When the Lord sees all this, starting in verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. I thought that was interesting. Yes, it's your people, Moses. These are your people. these aren't my people, and I'm done with these people. Yeah, I'm done with these people. This is your deal. And Moses he's just in the middle of it all the time. The Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. He just puts it all on Moses. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, have worshipped it, have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt? So now he turns it back on the Lord. The Lord said, your people, which you led out of Egypt. And Moses says, no, these are your people, which you led out of Egypt, and they've done this. Verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, repent of this evil against thy people. Now, this is a really wild account in the Bible, because this is an account where a man tells God to repent, and then God listens. Where a man preaches to God and says, your people, you brought us out of Egypt, and if you kill us in the wilderness, the Egyptians will say they were brought out of Egypt so God could just slaughter them in the wilderness. And and Moses says, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. So that's what he preaches to God. Repent of this evil that you intend to do against these people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Wow. One of the things that's interesting about that word repent, it's a good thing to go through, but there are as many and maybe more times in the Bible where the Lord repents as opposed to man repenting, which that's a pretty peculiar thought, that God does change his mind and he does hear the prayers of people and he does listen and he does sometimes make different decisions based on what people ask him to do. And so Moses has asked him and given him a reason. He said, you know, if we die in the wilderness, the Egyptians are just going to say you brought us in the wilderness to kill us. And furthermore, you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that and Israel that you're going to give us the promised land or get us into the promised land. And so verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. That's an interesting thing. The Lord repents because of Moses' mediation. So Moses is just literally caught in the middle of everything. He's trying to make God happy. He's trying to keep the people in line. And it's just like, no wonder he breaks all the tables of stone at one point. Just like, what am I supposed to do? So the Lord repents, decides, no, okay, I'm not going to wipe out the nation, and I'm not going to start over with Moses. And then verses 15 through 18, you kind of get the nature of the sin. What's going on here? It sounds like Joshua's with Moses in this. The Bible says in verse 15, Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. So this is some kind of music going on, and to Joshua it just sounds like war. Moses says, well, it's not war because they're not talking about conquering, or it's not about conquering or being conquered. This is music. They're playing music. And so there's probably a whole deal about music and stuff like that in there. But this goes along with the idolatry. It's all part of the whole thing here. The music and the golden calves, and then you'll see the nakedness and things like that. Verse 19. So Moses comes down. And I'll read this to you and then we'll make some comments here, but it's kind of funny. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. So he throws it in their drinking water. I can just see Moses. He comes down the mount. He breaks the tables of stone. He kicks the calf over. He starts just beating the golden calf into just powder. Throws all that stuff into their drinking water, because it says he made them drink the water. Well, I don't know how you're going to make a million people drink out of something that's contaminated. You're just going to put it in their drinking water, and you're going to say, this is what you want. Here, you can have it. Digest it. And so he throws it in the drinking water. And Moses said unto Aaron, verse 21, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. This is just what they're going to do. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. That sounds like a kid's excuse. It just happened. We just put it in the fire, and it just happened. I don't know. Where did this come from? I don't know. It's just here. It's just been here. Who brought this in the house? I don't know. It's here. It just got here. So this is kind of what Aaron says. He's got this ridiculous sort of explanation for this thing. I just threw all this gold and stuff into the fire, and out came this calf. Verse 25. So you got the typical, you know, somebody caught in sin, and they're just going to make excuses about it. And then Moses sees the people, verse 25. Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Wow. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So they go to the place where all this partying and worshiping this cow is happening. And Levi, the tribe of Levi, Levi and the Levites, take their swords and go slaughter a bunch of Israelites in there. 3,000, the Bible says. For Moses had said in verse 29, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Wild. So Moses calls the people to commit their works to the Lord. And this is tough stuff, but it's reading about. So God kills or has 3,000 people killed, and in the same breath he says, now commit your works to the Lord. Commit your works to the Lord. And I can just hear critics, you know, well, that sounds like a vengeful, hateful God. He just wants blood, and he's just after all this. The plan is, he's got a plan. He's trying to establish this nation in righteousness. He's trying to get them on the same page as he is, and trying to lead them into goodness and graciousness and all those things. And the folks want to abandon God. They want to abandon their life source. They want to abandon the Father. And so this is what they've done. They've committed idolatry, and now this is what has to happen early on in this nation. And so 3,000 people are killed, 3,000 men, the Bible says. And Moses says in the same instance, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. So Moses calls the people to commit their works to the Lord. And it reminds me, there's a couple of verses, I think one in Proverbs, talks about commit your works unto the Lord and he shall establish your thoughts, something like that. And then James talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, but the ones that essentially commit their works to the Lord, this man's going to be blessed in what he does. That's what Moses is saying here. This is exactly what he's saying. So he calls the people to commit their works to the Lord, and this is one of a few times where just a whole swath of people are killed, a whole swath of Israelites are killed because of sin that's gotten into the camp here. Verse 30, you got this phrase is going to really resound throughout this whole, I don't know, the whole nation of Israel for centuries to come, but it's something Paul says, and we read it this morning in Sunday school, where he says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so verse 30, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So answer Moses is, I'm not blotting you out. The wages of sin is death, and whoever sinned, they'll get blotted out. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. So the wages of sin is death. And that's what the Lord emphasizes. A couple little things in here. This is a major event in the nation's history. It's a major event. And it really, it's one of these things that sets the tone in the relationship between the nation of Israel and God. And so the whole book thing, that's something we could go into at some point in time, but it looks like all the Israelites are written in this book as descendants of Jacob, but descendants of Israel, and then sometimes the people get blotted out of that book depending on their standing before God. So in this case, a lot of them get blotted out. They suffer the consequences of their sin. Moses asked to be blotted out, but the Lord says, you're not going to be blotted out. I'm blotting out the ones that are sinners. And so this whole thing, this golden calf episode, it's unacceptable worship. It's idolatry. Paul will, like I said, bring it to people's remembrance in 1 Corinthians about how these folks had experienced so much of God's work and then just abandoned God at almost every turn, even after they've experienced so much. It's like Hebrews said that the people, they had been partakers of the Spirit of God, tasted of the heavenly manna, something like that. And he goes through all these details about the nation of Israel. And he says, but yet they're unbelievers. They're just unbelievers. So that's the warning that Paul has with the Corinthians. Don't be like that. And because undoubtedly Paul's talking to lost people, saved people, all kinds of people at Corinth. But this is the golden calf episode. It's unacceptable worship. It's, you see the Lord repenting in an interesting way here. You see Moses telling the Lord to repent and the Lord repenting. You see the some of the nature of this sin, and you see some of the music that's happening there, and then the just Aaron's kind of ridiculous excuse about the golden calf, and then Moses eventually preaching to the people to look, commit your works to the Lord, and the Lord saying, yeah, the wages of sin is death. This is what's going to happen if the folks don't listen to me. So golden calf, lots of stuff in here, lots of stuff you could probably break apart and deal with more, but you get the whole picture there. So chapter 33 is going to be an interesting deal after this. But let's pray. We'll get out of here and go home for this afternoon. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Pray it's been helpful, and pray you'd make these applications where they need to be made. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this history. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.